Vice President Harris has a plan for the economy if she's elected. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, and she'll let us know today. In North Carolina, it includes tax cuts for the middle class, first-time homebuyer assistance, and an attempt to save us on groceries.
This will be Vice President Harris's first major policy speech, happening in a state that Joe Biden lost, but Democrats hope to flip this cycle by targeting corporate greed and price gouging to assuage Americans' top concern, inflation and high prices. Harris's most controversial plan is expanding the authority of the FTC to regulate grocery prices.
That's Fox's Jackie Heinrich in Raleigh. Former President Trump calls that plan communist price controls. Another Republican critic says the vice president is
the economic arsonist in chief, and then trying to show up in a firefighter uniform.
Congressman Jody Arrington tells Fox she's trying to
extinguish the flames of inflation that she set ablaze along with her accomplice Joe Biden.
Just over a month after the Trump assassination attempt at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, the Secret Service, under scrutiny over security lapses, is making this change.
Bulletproof glass will now surround the podium at former President Trump's events moving forward. According to a federal law enforcement source, the glass will be used at outdoor events, but indoor events will not have the same level of protection.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. 2 days of talks have just wrapped up trying to broker a ceasefire in Gaza that would set Hamas hostages free.
There's just a statement that was released by the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt saying that progress was made and that senior mediators will continue to have conversations in the coming days.
Fox's Alex Hogan also reports from Tel Aviv.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Monday.
An escaped killer's 3 days of freedom are over in North Carolina. Ramon Alston's back behind bars, captured at a hotel at 2 a.m. America's listening to Fox News.
President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. Mike Huckabee says he's tuning in like millions of Americans. Newsmax is now the fastest-growing cable news channel in America. Watch Newsmax on cable, streaming, or on the free Newsmax app. And Newsmax has announced it plans to go IPO soon. For a limited time, eligible investors can even buy preferred shares in Newsmax, and they come with a 7% dividend. Get the details about Newsmax's planned IPO and shares. Just go to NewsmaxInvest.com. Forbes says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. Get Newsmax shares. You can even buy shares with a credit card at NewsmaxInvest.com. Whenever making an investment decision, you should consult your attorney or financial advisor. And investors are responsible for conducting their own due diligence regarding investments and for all tax and other risks and obligations. Don't miss out. Find out more at NewsmaxInvest.com today.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACYuma.com studios. 560 KBLU.
Happy Friday from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. Arizona is seeing a recent rise in COVID cases. The Arizona Department of Health Services report more than 68,000 total cases this week. Over 2,000 of those in Yuma County. The county says it started seeing the new KP3 variant in April. The CDC recommends everyone ages 6 months and above to receive an updated 2024-25 COVID vaccine this fall. The Yuma Union High School District has set a new district low for modern-day dropout rates. The district is made up of 7 schools, and they have a combined dropout rate of less than 2%. 4 of the schools saw rates lower than 1%. Meanwhile, the state average is higher at almost 5%. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Scott Gross.
Continued sunny and hot. Your weekend weather, 109 and sunny on Friday, 85 Friday night. 110, sunny on Saturday and Sunday. Nighttime lows in the mid-80s. Monday, sunny and 109.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Hey, Yuma. This is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis Sr., back up in the old saddle of the radio station. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Tom. How are we doing today? Hi, Russ. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Excellent. Good to see you.
So, as you guys might know, 2.5 weeks ago, we were kind of in a little bit of a pullback, and now it seems things are moving back up, and everyone forgot about 2 weeks ago. That's the beauty of the market, you know.
Did you get a lot of panic calls?
Yeah, you know, I mean,
justifiably. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think the media, you know, really hypes it up. Like they said, the Dow had the worst point drop in the history of the Dow, which is true. It was about 1,000 points.
Yeah.
But if you put that in perspective of where the Dow's at now compared to where it was 20 years ago,
percentage wise,
it's not a big deal. So, even when the market hit its bottom, the S&P and the Dow was up like for the year for the last 12 months up like 11 to 13%. So it wasn't like, you know, sometimes people think the sky's falling, but I think a lot of it has to do with the media and how it presents things and little keywords like, you know, worst market ever in one day and anyways.
Yeah, worst market ever. But the thing I find really interesting, Tom, is it's all about the Fed. We talk about this. So what's Jerome Powell been waiting for? To lower rates, because everybody wants them to lower rates so that people can borrow more and the market likes that.
Pretty much inflation, right? He wants inflation to be down.
He wants inflation to be down, but you need to have weakness in the economy. And the jobs increasing every quarter has been making that difficult, you know, for him to cut rates. And we finally get a jobs report that's not good, and people freak out.
But not terrible,
but that's kind of what started the catalyst and the Japan carry trade and... You know, now we're going to have a recession. So,
Goldman Sachs, which are pretty smart people, had about a 15% chance of recession, and then I think about a week ago they moved that up to 25, I believe.
Oh yeah, I heard about
so,
that.
So I mean, right. still, so. I mean, I don't think we can say we're going to have a recession.
No, I don't think so. Either,
I mean, especially
that was the
Fed
word out there, and
you know, the Fed's supposed to raise rates in September. And I don't know if a quarter or a half would be interesting, and then first of the year, and that might be enough to keep things kind of going.
Yeah,
but it all goes back to the consumer, right?
Yeah, it does. And today was the consumer sentiment, and it came back with a good number today too.
Yeah, so the consumer sentiment, I think it's out of Michigan, right?
Yeah,
they basically poll people and
University
ask
of Michigan, that's how sharp, Tom.
how good do you feel about the economy? And I don't know exactly the details of how they poll. But they take people. If people feel bad, then you know that can spend as much money. Mm-hmm. So that's coming back up, the sentiment, which is a good sign.
Yeah,
because even if we're in a bad time, if people think we're in a good time, that's going to help.
Highest reading since June. So
yeah, so
yeah, because you always say consumer spending is what 70% of the economy,
75% of the GDP
of the GDP. Yeah,
yeah. So as long as Americans keep cranking out buying stuff, we're in good shape.
But
a lot of that's mental, right? I mean, if you think your bank account's at a good spot, you know, maybe you got a raise, you know, maybe you paid off something, you spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
So
I got a question for you on recession, because you always say that's two quarters of negative GDP.
Yeah. So a correction is a 10% pullback in the market.
Okay.
So we had that a week and a half ago. So that's called a correction. Anything that drops more than 10%. And then recession is two negative quarters of GDP. Now, this quarter, the GDP, third quarter, came in at 2.8.
Mm-hmm.
The one before that was like 1.8. And I think the one before that was like 2.1 or something. So basically, our GDP number is 2.8, which is not bad.
Consistent.
Well, yeah. A 3% is... supposedly where they want things at.
But here's where I get a little confused. So if it's 2.8 in quarter two, and in quarter three, if it comes in lower, does that negative? Or it actually has to go below zero?
Below zero.
Negative. Okay. Yeah. So you need two actual negative GDP reports in a row for a recession.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It
could go from 2.8 to 2.7 to 2.6. That's not a recession.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. They
could go from 3.5 to 3.3 to, you know.
Yeah.
It has to be negative.
Okay.
And, you know, the when COVID came, you know, the market did about a 50% drop, but that was due to the scare of the COVID effect. But the economy wasn't in a recession, still dropped 50%, which is really unusual, but not really, because when that's a significant world event, that could cause a big scare. just like the Japanese thing, you know, a lot of this market, they're saying jobs, you know, coming in weaker, but a lot of it was on the global markets. It kind of got shocked with Japan because they're, you know, kind of a long story, but their market got shirked a little bit because the first time that Japanese raised interest rates in like 25 basis points, too. Yeah, but 25 years.
Yeah.
So, but Japanese has a lot of debt, and, you know, when you raise rates, that affects that, and then they started selling bonds. But there's more to that story.
Well, a lot of people borrowed against the yen because it was such a low rate at 0%. Then they turn around and invest that money somewhere else.
Yeah.
They were taking advantage of the low rates to invest in maybe U.S. treasuries or something that had a higher rate.
They're keeping the spread, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, there's world events that can, you know, spook things, and sure we'll have more of them.
So the Fed meets in Jackson Hole next month. Have you ever been to Jackson Hole, Tom?
Never been to any of those states.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. Back when I lived in Idaho, in eastern Idaho, we would go skiing in Jackson Hole. It's a beautiful place.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good, real excellent skiing and resort in summer, too.
So this isn't a meeting where they're supposed to raise the rates. It's kind of like just a get-together. But the media is hoping that they might make a decision at that meeting.
At that meeting, yeah.
But a lot of the people say that's not how they work. They usually wait for a different meeting to raise or lower rates, which is September. But who knows? I mean, maybe they might.
Is your gut telling you 25 basis points? I think the market's already got that built in.
Yeah, the market actually already responded to that. So did the bond market. Like, it's already done already. I think it depends on what happens from now till September. You said today that there were some more numbers on jobs.
The consumer sentiment.
Oh, the sentiment.
That
was the
sentiment one. It came in positive. So, best since June.
Yeah. You know, if they go a half a point, then they might not go in the first of the year. Or if they go quarter, they'll probably do a quarter one in the first.
But after the market got shook a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, everyone was screaming for a half a point or even more, you know.
Yeah.
The Fed's way behind the curve. And
yeah, I mean, it's short-term, they can affect things, but I think long-term, the chips are going to fall as they may. You know, one of the biggest things that we see people when we meet with them is just the basic rules that people don't get. And you know, even myself, I read these rules and say, okay, well, here's the rule. Then I don't think about it for 6 months, and then I read the same rule. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, that rule is in place.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I saw this week is people on their beneficiary forms for their retirement accounts will put down the estate of their name. And basically, if you do that, it's like having no beneficiary. So
they're doing that on the primary beneficiary?
On the primary beneficiary, okay. If you put the estate of Russ Clark, you think, well, that's my estate. Mm-hmm. It's literally like having an empty beneficiary. And if you do that, you have to withdraw the funds within 5 years and terminate the account. So right now, the rule is 10 years, so it will buy more time.
Well, you don't have to withdraw in 5 years. The beneficiary does.
Yeah, well, you're dead.
If you die, yeah. Russ is dead.
Make that clear.
Whoever's
the point is, the little rules like that will save you, you know, 5 more years of not getting taxed.
Yeah, that's a 5-year plan, not even 10.
But so that's why you want to watch the small rules. There's another strategy out there because the tax court just changed on when someone passes away and gets a beneficiary IRA, and a beneficiary IRA is not from the spouse. So if the spouse passes away, it goes to the other spouse, not a big deal. But if a kid gets it or anybody else besides the spouse, they have to withdraw the funds of 10 years at a 10-year period. Mm-hmm. Before, you could have taken it at the last 10 years and just withdrew everything. You could have taken a little bit every year. Taking one, skip a year, take another one. It's going to be up to you. Just get the account terminated by 10 years. Well, now they change the rule where you have to take a minimum distribution over the next 10 years. So that's a rule that just came out. It's not going to take effect in 24, but 25 is when they're going to implement it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, one of the strategies that people need to look at, especially if you're pretty healthy, like Russ Clark here, the working out man.
Yes.
Personal trainer.
Yeah. So let's just say you had a $100,000 IRA account and you're going to pass on to your kid. And you think, okay, well, he'd take $10,000 a year out for the next 10 years. you know, and that's good money for my son because I'm not here. But one of the things people can do, and they don't think about this, is you can think about taking out that minimum distribution amount, leveraging it with life insurance, and basically that $10,000 premium over the next 10 years on yourself might leverage it to $250, $300. Now, you have to be healthy enough to get the insurance.
Right.
But ultimately, look at that option, because the beauty of, and I'm not a life insurance salesman. I consider myself more of a stock guy, and I was, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley is where I started. But you can leverage money with life insurance, and life insurance is tax-free.
Tax-free.
So if you can get 2 to 3 times on life insurance compared to giving your kid a $100,000 IRA, why not? And it would come out tax-free, where IRA accounts, when you pull the money out and pay the premium, it's taxed.
Mm-hmm.
But life insurance is tax-free if you do it right. So.
Wow. I never knew that.
And you're at the point where, you're a little older, but you'd be amazed at, like, if you did, like...
I'm reaching life expectancy.
It's the beard.
But if you did a $10,000 premium a year for the next 10 years, you'd be amazed at what that could leverage on the life insurance side. And it's probably more than the $100,000 IRA you'd pass on.
Wow.
So, I don't know.
But that's interesting, because what you're saying, Tom, is if my son inherited my IRA when I died... If he's in he's most likely in his highest income years. He's making probably more money than
your son's just in college.
Well, my kid's just in college. Yeah, just an example. But let's say I live a little bit longer.
But let's live a real thing. So he's in college. How old's your oldest?
20.
Okay, so 10 years, he's going to be 30 if you die tomorrow.
Yeah.
So in 30, he's going to take the full IRA account. Let's call it $100,000.
Full thing out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you basically went in and you could get, premiums on some life insurance,
right?
That would cover it. Mm-hmm. But really, it only works good on the with excess money, right?
Okay.
Because budgeting, you're not going to pull your IRA money out to maybe buy life insurance while you're living.
Yeah.
But a lot of people that have to take the RMDs every year,
mm-hmm.
they're not using it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your required minimum distribution? Well, it just goes to my bank, mm-hmm. and I don't really spend it, is what you hear. So it's something to think about.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to take our first break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m. Be right back.
And he looks at her, says, "Hey, darling, I can remember when you could start with love. Oh, but ain't..."
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Okay, so you're saying you'd have to take the same...
Right. To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, so you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, as a nationwide partnership of advisors.
This is Derek Hegerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American.
Hey, Yuma Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Davis here, just talking away. Another thing that came out rule-wise that a lot of people don't realize, in 2024, If you're under the age of 59 and a half for IRAs, 401ks, you can pull up to $10,000 out with no 10% penalty. So you avoid the penalty. You still got to pay tax for domestic abuse victim. So I'm not sure how you claim, you know, if you need a court.
Well, all you got to do is file
paper.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, I don't know if it's the honor system, you know.
Or maybe you need a report that someone came to the house or something.
Or maybe a black eye. I can help you with that.
Yeah. Self-inflicted, right?
So and that's up to $10,000? You can take out
without a penalty.
A penalty.
10%
you still get
penalty.
Tax, though.
Yeah.
But no penalty. Okay.
Now, they also have it where you can take $1,000 out for any emergency, which is definitely vague. I mean, it could be anything, without the 10% penalty.
Okay.
So on a 401k IRA, they basically passed a law where you can have a little relief money, $1,000 for an emergency without being, but 10% penalty.
Does it say it applies in a simple also? Or do they go that far?
It says IRAs and 401ks, but I mean, it seems like it should apply to all retirement. 403bs, I mean, it should be across the board. But that's a little, you know, unknown rule that might help somebody if they need it.
And that's once a year?
Once a year, yeah.
Okay. You need $1,000 and then 10% penalty.
Then a lot of the talk is they change the rules where you can take 529 plans, which are college plans, and convert if they've been open for 15 years, so they have to be in place for 15 years, you can convert them to a Roth IRA only for the beneficiary of the plan, which is the kid, and you could do a maximum of $35,000 for the lifetime, but the contribution has to be the maximum for that year. So it's $7,000. Plus, you do it for 5 years, that's $35,000.
Okay.
But that is a good deal because there is college money that gets left over that sits there and people don't know what to do with it. You could either keep it in there under your name, and then when you have kids, you can add the social security number, date of birth, name of the kid, and keep it in there for another 18 years so you have a kid or something. But this is a good thing for the younger generation to jumpstart a Roth IRA.
Yeah, it is.
Now, what's a for a young person, what's the best thing about a Roth IRA, George? Put you on the spot. For a young person.
Best thing for a young person is the tax-free growth.
Okay. That wasn't the answer, but I can see your point. What's the second best thing for a young person to have a Roth?
Well, they can... I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. When you fund a Roth IRA, you can take the principal out and buy your first primary residence.
Oh, okay.
So basically, it's a good way to jumpstart buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you get out of college and you get settled, probably the next big thing you need to do is, you know, I would say the first thing is if they offer 401k, get the match, do that number one. But number two, you probably want to own your own house, especially if you're going to stay in the area that you think you're going to be in.
Yeah.
Because why pay rent? And that goes out the window. So Roth IRAs are great dual purposes. Put money away to save for your primary house, but also put money away so you
can. Most 401ks now will have that Roth component. And they're even starting to have the match if the employer will do it as a Roth.
Yeah, but I don't know if that rule applies to 401k Roths, does it?
Oh, for the house?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think it's just Roth IRAs, yeah.
Yeah.
But like I have a nephew who we set up a Roth and he's 25 almost. And I said, well, what are you going to give me a month? He goes, I'm going to give you $100. And I said, look, with the amount of money you're making, like $100, come on, what are you going to really give
actually
me?
For a 25-year-old, that's not bad.
Yeah, but he makes $65,000 a year.
Oh, okay.
So he's college, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways, he goes, well, I'm saving money for my house, so I'm putting $500 over here, and you're going to get $100. And I'm like, when are you going to buy a house? Well, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years. Which for the younger generation means 10 years, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I said, look, fund the Roth. I mean, put all that, or put bulk of it in the Roth, or you can fund $400 or $500 in a Roth, and when the time comes to buy your house, we will pull it out, and you're achieving the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the interest from there will hopefully, you know, be above and beyond a savings account at a bank. So just, you know, minor thing, but he had the right idea, just didn't understand the instrument to do it in.
Uh-huh. So you have a college student that's not working, then they won't be able to put into a Roth unless they're getting some type of payment.
You have to get W-2 income to fund any IRA or your spouse has to. So you're going to have one spouse that's working, W-2 income, the other one's zero, and you can fund both of them.
All right.
Yeah. But you can only fund up to the maximum amount they make. So if one spouse, like I, this is a good example. I have a two spouse that both retired. One's bored, so goes out and gets small jobs here and there to stay busy.
Uh-huh.
And they can fund $8,000 each a year into a Roth because one's still working. But she has to make $16,000 a year to fund it. And some years she does, some years she doesn't because it's just kind of play money. But you have to.
Oh, together the joint, they have to make 16 to bill and max them both out.
Yeah. So not only you have to get a W-2, you got to get, you only put in.
Enough, yeah.
To Roth with the W-2 shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, that's another strategy. Like I see retirees that some people just can't stay home. I mean, that's the reality of it for a while at least. I see them go out and get part-time jobs, and you'd be amazed, you know, even working minimum wage or something, and they enjoy it because it's, you know, keeps them around people and they're active. But, you know, working part-time before you actually touch your full retirement, or instead of taking $1,000 a month because you're retired, mm-hmm. you can maybe only take $500 a month because you're working part-time. Mm-hmm. That really adds to the plan. And when we do financial planning with people through our Money Guide software, we can plug a hypothetical. Okay, you retire immediately, or you work part-time for the next 3 years and you make $15,000 or whatever, $20,000, whatever you think you can make. We plug in those numbers, and the numbers get significant better by part-time work. So something to think about. So
last night I was playing poker with my buddy, and he wants to retire. He's going to be Medicare soon, 65, so that's his key. But he also said, hey, I think I'm going to grab Social Security, and then I'm going to go back and work. Don't we make sure you're careful of that $23,200 exemption that you can only make so much, or they withhold a dollar for every two on your Social Security.
But if he's over 65, then
his full retirement age 67. 66 in like 8 months.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah. So if he retires at 65, he's got to be careful not to make over that $22,300. And he thought it was 30-something because he was getting it confused with the taxation.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, shoot. So when he goes back to work, he has to be careful not to make over that.
Yeah,
but the
bigger thing would be to see if he's better off holding out to age 70.
Mm-hmm. Or 66 and 8 months.
I don't know if that's – maybe some people like to take the quick money from the Social Security because it's there, but mm-hmm. sometimes it doesn't make sense to do that, especially when you continue to work.
But you're talking about the Money Guide Pro, and we can put that into the different scenarios, Tom, because I've seen actually where it's advantageous to take it a little bit early because if you're draining your funds – to get to that full retirement age, and you put pressure on your assets or your IRA or whatever, and then you have a bad, when you happen to retire, it happens to be a bad market or poor timing, they call it, on Money Guide Pro.
Yeah,
it'll significantly reduce the amount of money you end up with by $500,000 or $1 million.
Yeah.
So there's both ways. We're proponents of waiting, of course, but
sounds like
some
that
people,
guy you need to drag in and throw all the numbers on the table.
Yeah, yeah,
because he's doing
that.
Most people, and don't you know, it's
flying by
do
the
it.
Seat of his pants.
It's all in their head, you know. Like if I did this, I think I'm okay. So it really has to go to software because compounding interest, taxes, and inflation,
they don't come. Yeah,
our brain can't compute any of those. Really,
no, you're right.
I mean, so people might have the money to retire, but they might be wounded down the road. Another thing we see people do is we ask if they gift to nonprofits. A lot of retirees do because they got some consumable income and they want to support the church or some other event. And they might say, yeah, I give, and you add it all up. You know, I give $10,000 a year to church. Well, that money's coming in when you stroke a check or you give cash to the church, depending on how you do it. So they're better off if they're over 70 and a half to basically give from their IRA account.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could go from their IRA account to the church, $10,000 in this example. They don't pay tax. The church doesn't pay tax. Well, if you're stroking a check, I mean, that's after-tax money. So that's a strategy that people that are 70 and a half or older need to do because it will save you some money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, $10,000 if you're in the 20% bracket and $10,000, you can save $2,000 by giving the money. And it's the same event for everybody, different way.
Yeah. But the key is that 70 and a half. Because I was thinking that, why can't you just do it before 70 and a half? Why don't you do it at 68 and you're putting to your church anyway?
No, it's just a rule.
It is a rule, yeah.
It's an IRS rule.
So I had some people asking about that. And we checked with the CPA and he's like, yep, 70 and a half. You can't get around it. So
Yeah, it's a rule, hard rule. Yeah. So, and then the other thing we see all the time is people think they're maxing out their 401k or their Roth IRAs and the IRAs, and they're not, because in their head you only put in 20,000, but that was 5 years ago. So to give you an idea, in 2024, you can do 23,000 in a 401k if you're under 50, and then if you're over 50, there's a catch-up provision. Well, you can do 30,500. And I would say 2/3 of the time when you ask people, are you maxing out your 401k? And they're like, yeah, I am. Because when they did it 5 years ago, they did the numbers and it was maxed out. But with them going up, you know, they're not keeping it up. So Roth IRAs are 7,000 if you're under 50, and IRA and over 50, an extra 1,000. So that's $8,000. So every year you got to adjust that. So if you have the means to keep it maxed out.
Yeah, because 30,500, if you break that down monthly, that's quite a bit. That's a pretty good chunk that you're putting in. So a lot of people aren't doing that if they do it per pay.
Yeah, or ACH from a bank account. So you set up a certain amount to max out that year, but you got to adjust it the following year if it goes up. Then the other thing a lot of people don't understand is to fund a Roth IRA, if you're over a certain income limits, you just can't do it. So there's basically if you're single, it starts phasing out at $146,000 a year if you're single. If you're double, it's about $230,000 a year.
Your joint return, yeah.
Your joint return. But there are some ways to get around that. They call it the backdoor IRA account. But there's rules involved, but you know, more times than not, you can get money to Roth. You just got to do it a certain way. But to me, that's a... again, another rule that would help people out. And then, you know, the Social Security tax is going up every year. So 2024, you get taxed on Social Security up to $168,600.
Yes.
But then next year's going to go up. Next year's going to go up. So that's slowly eating into your money. So got to keep an eye on that. Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
This is Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Welcome back to Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. George Davis Senior. Just had a birthday, Tom. 59, baby. Yeah. Big 6-0, yeah.
Dang, you 59 and a half.
59 and a half, that's right.
No 10% penalty.
So at Yuma Investment Group, we're educating clients and basically community on different topics. And my specialty is the Social Security. When should you collect Social Security? I've got another seminar tomorrow at 10 at Yuma Investment Group. Get a hold of Kayla Mendez at our office, 928-329-1700. And then in a couple months in October, if you're going to be here then, the 17th of October and the 19th. So this is very beneficial, educational. We're not selling product or anything, just trying to get the word out there that, you know, some of these decisions that people make on Social Security is critical. One of the ones I see, Tom, is to not incorporate your spouse in the planning process.
Yeah.
As people think, I'm just going to grab it at 62 because it's not going to be there for me, or they're worried that it'll be broke. And they don't think about that widow benefit. You know, like in my certain example, my wife's 5 years younger than me and also more slender. So she's probably going to live longer, most likely. So one of the strategies I look at is if I prolong mine to 70 and take advantage of, you know, the highest Social Security I can, and she takes it even at 62, at least there's income for that 8 years while we wait for 70 for me. And if when I die, she gets to hop on the larger one, the one at 70. So that's a widow benefit where she can benefit there in the planning.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to maximize your Social Security, and everyone's kind of different, right? Because everyone has a different story, different spouse, different age. So you really got to assess it for yourself. What percentage of the people do you think say, okay, I'm going to take my Social Security this way, and then you do a little planning, and then it's not they don't go with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's your experience?
Oh, I would probably say 80.
Yeah, so 80% think they're going to do X, mm-hmm. and then once it gets analyzed, it's not.
But even
happen.
If you analyze it, it makes you feel good that you solidified that decision. That decision I made was correct. At least I know
I'm really not too worried about the 20% that get it right. But I'm telling you, 80% of the people are getting it wrong and how they should take Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep. So one of the things, too, is they changed, this is during the Trump time frame, but they changed the Trump presidency. Standard deductions for people are really high now. So if you're married, you can basically deduct $29,200. But when you itemize, you know, not a lot of people can itemize anymore because you have to hit that threshold to get the deduction. So itemization's kind of gone out the window for a lot of people because the threshold's too high.
Yeah.
So there are some strategies you can try to do. One is to, you know, whatever you do, try to lump it in for 1 year and then maybe skip a year and then lump it in again. So let's just hypothetically, you give $15,000 a year to nonprofits. Mm-hmm. Well, if you keep giving 15 1 year, 15 the next, you won't qualify for the deductions. But if you can do 30 1 year and then skip a year and then do 30 the next year, that would put you above to get the itemized deduction.
Yeah.
So basically, analyze what your deductions are, and if there's a way to double it and then skip a year, that might be beneficial. Because that's a big deduction if you can get.
Yeah, that's a big
line.
Deal. That's quite a bit to try to get to there. You know, I guess if you have mortgage interest rate.
Well, it's also like medical bills. I mean, it's a combination of things, but at least analyze that.
Yeah.
Because it might be a way to get there every other year, which would save you quite a bit of money.
I think there's a lot of things, too, that people don't realize, Tom, that they can deduct. Like LTC premiums. If you're paying long-term care premiums, I think you can. That's one of the ones you can deduct. Medical, yeah. Stuff like that you don't think about.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Now, there's something called the kiddie tax, and basically what that says is that a minor, a kid, can earn up to $1,300 of interest, whether it's dividend from stock, CD, money market, and that's all tax-free. And they can do this up to age 19. So, all the way up to 24 if they're a full-time student. So basically, but then after that, the next $1,300. So the first $1,300 is tax-free. The next $1,300 is at the kid's tax rate. Most kids' tax rates are pretty minimal, zero. But then anything above that hits the parents' tax rate.
Mm.
So that's why it makes a lot of sense. If you're going to plan for college at a young age of the kid, don't put in anything but an account that grows tax-deferred so that you don't have the parents get taxed on it, because eventually you will. If you put enough money in there and grow for a public school, you're going to have, you know, a lot of money in there, over six figures. It's going to tax the parents.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about put it into like an ESA, an educational savings account,
or a 529
plan. Yeah. Tax deferred, and as long as it's used for education, tax free.
Yeah. A lot of parents make the mistake where they just say, well, I open up an account at the kids and I put it in their name and they got a CD or something. And if they keep feeding that, it's going to become a problem where they're going to get taxed on it, the kid or themselves.
Yeah, so. I'd heard of that, but that's interesting. So that's only interest. That's not cap gains or anything?
It's the
$1,300, just everything. Interest. Oh, it's everything.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's basically income tax. So capital gains, long-term capital gains might apply.
But, yeah, because he can't do the Roth yet, but he's still playing a little bit with buying some stocks and stuff.
Yeah.
And so that would apply to him. That's good.
Yeah. Then the other huge thing to think about are these HSA plans, house savings accounts. So first of all, you have to have a high deductible in order to have one of them, for high deductible on your medical insurance. So it's $1,600 if you're single and $3,200 deductible if you're family coverage. But if you qualify for that, you can open up an HSA account. You can put in money. All money in an HSA is tax. Is you can write off your taxes. It grows with no tax. And when you spend it on healthcare-related items, there's no tax. So let me give you a quick example. Let's just say every year I clean my teeth at the dentist, and it costs me $100. Well, the old days, I just give them, stroke a check and pay them the $100 when I leave the office. Well, now if you have an HSA card, which they put on like a, mine's a, not Visa, but a, what's the other card?
Flex.
No, Visa, American MasterCard. Express, MasterCard.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's on there, and when I leave, I pay with my HSA card, and they pay them $100. But that $100 was pre-tax money, not after-tax money. So that saving me about $25, $30, you know, for my taxes by using HSA.
And you got to use it to lower your taxes to begin with.
Yeah, and if you don't use it, it just carries over for the next year. So let's just say you're pretty healthy, but year five, you have a big operation, and it costs you, you know, $5,000 or something.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull money out of there to cover it. So HSA plans are really crucial, because guess what? People are spending the money anyways. You got a couple, you know, go to, I'm sure there's pharmacy involved for everybody, you know, eyeglasses. You got to get those every other year or so. So take advantage of that.
Do they have the max on the HSA each year on there?
Yep. The max is single is $8,050. And if you're a family, it's $16,100.
Oh, it's more than I thought. So you can put it. $16,100 into an HSA this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that come right off your income.
Yeah.
And then if you're, when you're 60, I believe it's 65, you can use an HSA as a retirement account, meaning they'll let you pull the money out and use it for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
It is taxable when you do it at that point, but at least it's going to be used for something. And that can also be used for paying premiums for long-term care or for nursing home. So if you go to a nursing home and your HSA is built up to like $40,000 or something, you can use that towards a nursing home. So it's very, very good account.
Yeah, especially with those exemptions going up on your taxes. A lot of people can't do that anymore. You can use that HSA to help supplement that. But you have to have that deductible of what, $1,600?
$1,600 if you're single and $3,200 if you're married, your family. Married,
but a lot of people have that.
Most people do, though, because any deductible that's less is a lot of money.
Well, what I don't get is why the high school district, ours is $500, which is low.
Well, that's good for you, though.
Well, it's good for me, but they let you do what's called a flex. So you can flex certain amount of your money, but it's only $3,600. It's not like the HSA amounts.
The flex, you lose it, right? If you don't spend it by the end of the year, you lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a lot. It's a less of a, you know, a minimum. $3,600 is the max. But if you know you're gonna have, like, Jack has braces, so we easily use it.
Yeah.
But some people don't know about it or don't think about that. But it works the same way.
Yeah.
As far as reducing your.
When I was working at Dean Witter, when I got started, they had a flex account, so I put some money in there, and luckily I was pretty healthy. So at the end of the year, I had this money I got to spend.
Uh-huh.
So I'd go to the get some eyeglasses or go get glasses.
Yeah.
But I'd get glass rims way out of my league. And I have like $500 to spend, so I'd be like, I'm going to get the Gucci or whatever.
I'm going to get the good ones,
I would never buy them, but I had to blow the money, so it's kind of interesting.
That's funny.
So the other thing to keep in mind is that people can give an annual gift to people for $18,000 a year is a max you can give. Doesn't affect that person. Doesn't affect the person you're giving it to. That's $18,000 a person. So if you have a spouse, you can give $36,000, $18,000 each. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that's important to know. And I know people help out their family in different ways. So let's just say I'm going to help my kid buy a house, and I'm going to give him $30,000. You know, if you give it the right way, there's no repercussion.
Right, as a gift.
If I give a gift, my spouse gives a gift.
So that's every year? I can just continually do that? There's no cap on that, like a five-year cap or anything?
No, you can give it every year.
And that might sunset next year in 25, though.
And it's gone up. I mean, it's gone up significantly because I think when I started, you could only give like, you know, $8,000 or $10,000.
Yeah, I remember it being much less. Yeah. That's great.
So, and then we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
That's 80 years old.
There you go.
Welcome back to Yuma Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Russ informing me I got 21 years left to go. So.
According to the actuarial tables, you can beat those.
Yeah, you can. That's 80.
Yeah, you can beat those. It's just about, you know, eating right, exercise, all that stuff. So, yeah, heck with it.
I think on George, I would take the under, George. I'd be 80, George.
Under 80?
No, yeah, I'd take the under.
I don't think I'm doing bets.
Thanks, Tom. Over, under. I can't believe it's already going to be football season, Tom.
I know. That's, they had a couple. Didn't they have some pregames this
weekend? Yeah, some pregame in the NFL, but college fires up next week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, some college games. And it'd be kind of interesting with the changes in the different divisions or leagues, you know, because like USC and Oregon over in the Big Ten now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, I know your kid goes to U of A. What, they have some good games? Who are they playing?
I haven't looked at the schedule yet, but they always open up against NAU.
Which is...
Not yeah, man, Matt will go to that one. But they have some good games.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, that, I think it's going to be a step up in class.
I think that favorite did do pretty well, right? I mean, the U of A.
I don't know how many people they've come back. They did good last year. Yeah, they're pretty good team. They
have a good season. So
yeah,
yeah. Well, tell people again about tomorrow. You're having that seminar on Social Security. Just give the data one more time.
Yeah, tomorrow I got one there at our office, 182 East 16th Street. That's at 10 tomorrow, which is Saturday. I'm going to be in trouble with Kayla. She told me not to announce it because we're almost at capacity. But
so we're right across the street from Wells Fargo Bank, which is on 16th, right next to Staples.
Next to, yeah.
Yeah, so
next
right
to Smart and Final.
Yeah.
Is us. So tomorrow, 10 o'clock, U Invest Group. Our next one will be 17 October, which is a Thursday, and 19th October, which is a Saturday, and then another one in December. So every 2 months, Tom.
Yep, good. Now you got a certification on Social Security.
Yeah,
right?
National Social Security Advisor, NSSA.
That's what you are, George?
Yeah, and not to be confused with the, you know,
NWA, NBA.
Not to be confused with NASA, the NASA.
So what do you?
I had something here I wanted to add, okay, because I found this pretty interesting.
Let me say one more fact.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay, so when I started in the business, I think estate tax, anything above $750,000, you got taxed at estate tax. State tax, you know, is high, mid-30s, high 40s percent.
Yeah.
Well, that number has gone all the way up to 13.6 million. So basically it means that people can pass that on with no estate tax. Well, the typical American doesn't have 13 million, so that helps out a lot of people. But what's going to happen is in 2025.
Next year.
That thing they're talking about sunsetting it, and they haven't came up with a number yet, but the Republicans are pushing for like 6 million, and the Democrats are thinking like, you know, 3 to 6 million. So it's going to fall somewhere probably between 4 to 6 million, which sounds like a lot of money. But if you live to age 80 and you have some properties and maybe some stocks and other things, you might have an estate problem. So what you could do is you could actually lock in the 13.6 million if you do a correct estate plan and basically lock that in before that number drops a lot. So I'm actually that's something that people that think they're going to have an estate problem, they should consider doing some estate planning before the end of 25.
Mm-hmm. Does it start January 1? You know, everybody says 2025, they're due to sunset. Does that start January 1st, or do we even know that answer?
I think it's the end, was what I remember.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the end, because that's only 6 months.
You know the answer to that, Russ?
No.
Where would Russ know?
He knows all about the Trump taxes when they're going to sunset. No, he probably knows the exact date.
It's not 6 months. It's not far away. End of 25.
It's close.
Yeah. They always say 2025, but I was curious as to what month.
It's the end, actually.
Okay.
Because I'm actually going through my estate plan, looking at stuff, seeing how that sunset provision is going to affect things.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of 25.
Okay.
Because I know I got a little bit of time.
Yeah, good.
But I guarantee if you wait till the last minute, these attorneys are probably going to be, you know, hounded by other people, and you might not be able to get it done if you don't plan enough.
Yeah, time flies too.
Yeah.
It's going to be here before we know it.
So let me give you a quick example. Let's just say someone has a house, and eventually houses in Yuma are going to be worth $1 million someday. I'm talking like, you know, 20 years from now when you die.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, maybe another piece of property, a 401k. So you could be over $5 million on paper. And if you pass away, it goes to your spouse, not a big deal. But once your spouse passes away, and if the estate tax is anything over $5 million, and let's just say it grows more because she's going to live another 7 years, you might have $1 million above that. Then you're gonna pay estate tax on $1 million. That's $200,000.
Yeah.
So it's going to affect a lot of frugal people that have invested wisely, mm-hmm. I think, if they live long enough. Mm-hmm. So it's something I would definitely look into.
So you mentioned the house. And then assets like 401k, bank, but it would include everything, right?
Everything.
Bank
you
accounts.
Have a real estate.
You're basically net worth.
Second home or.
Classic cars.
Cars, yep.
All that stuff, they'll add up, won't they? Yeah, especially when it's looking at taxes.
Yep.
Okay.
So you think you don't have a problem, but you might have a problem 20 years from now. So you can try to get it in place so that you have the $13 million pass on and not whatever they're going to give us down the road, which is going to be less.
Mm-hmm.
So
That's interesting.
Yeah. So
So I got something here to add to your 10-year rule that you were talking about, you know, for the beneficiaries now, the non-spousal beneficiaries.
Yeah.
So if someone dies and this other than the spouse inherits the money, you have a 10-year window now where we used to be able to stretch it. So the there was a controversial part to that 10-year rule because what happened was the IRS actually passed that in 2020. So if someone died 2020, 2021, and no one took the RMD out because you have to do it every year for the 10 years, well, what happened to those people? Because you missed it, and there's usually a penalty for not taking an RMD, right, Tom?
Yep.
So basically what the IRS said is we didn't have our you-know-what together and our rules in place, so they waived the RMD for that 10-year period. So if you if someone passed away and you were supposed to take it in 21, 22, 23, and 24, they've waived it for all 4 years.
Yeah.
But now they're standing firm, and they just put it into law July 18 of 24. They will start making sure that you do take it in 2025.
So you better understand the rules, and because they're not going to be forgiving, right?
They're not going to be forgiving. So if you did inherit an IRA and you had that 10-year window, but you forgot to do the RMDs, here's your chance 2025 with no penalty because they've waived that for the first 4 years, for example. Even if you know someone passed away in 23,
yeah,
they'll waive those 2 years. The other thing I find kind of interesting is, okay, if someone passed away in 22 and you didn't take any RMD and you have to do it in 2025, do I have 10 years now from the 2025? No, it's actually the 10 years that it started. So you really only have, say, six or seven years to take it out.
That's one of the advantages of basically having a review with your advisor. At least annually, we try to do ours every 6 months because there's certain events in your life that would trigger something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of times if you're not in front of the advisor saying, okay, well, what can I do for Mr. and Mrs. Jones? Some of these ideas don't necessarily come out. I mean,
yeah,
try to be proactive, but the reality is, you know, people get bogged down, and then so it's important to have some contact every year and make sure that you don't miss the boat on some of these items.
Yeah, and people aren't, they don't really have the time and wherewithal to study like the Secure Act 2.0. That was a big deal that affected a lot of different retirement account and different rules. And you and I know a lot, and we're not, you know, specialists and know everything, but we do know where to find the answer to those questions. So yeah, we have a lot of resources.
The cool thing you have about your Social Security designation is that we have access to a Social Security attorney, so we can email them any scenario. Mm-hmm. It takes 24, 48 hours, but they can basically email us back the answer.
With the answer, yeah.
So we can get 100% on a lot of these answers.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause again, you know, we know 85% of the stuff, but some of it's more detailed where someone's in a specific position and we don't know how to handle it. We can get some feedback.
Yeah.
So,
and that's a good point because for the seminars that we're given and educating the public, we offer a no cost, no obligation financial plan if they want to take a deeper look in their Social Security and their accounts to at least start looking at a financial plan. We offer that to them. So.
Well, and every financial plan is going to include Social Security.
Yeah.
So it's part of it, too. Mm-hmm. So might as well do that. But, well, looks like it's getting a little bit cooler, right, some degree. Dove season's going to be here pretty quick.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. I haven't seen too many doves flying around. Is that just me or?
It's too hot.
Okay.
They're walking.
Yeah. Hey, well, anyway, everybody have a great weekend. Stay cool. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
All right. We're out. We'll see you next time.
Voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.